Now I'm done.
Now. Don't silence Kenny.
Now. Hi, guys.
Hey,
now, Kenny. I'm sorry.
Do you own a clock?
You bastard.
Or can you not read it?
Oh, my word.
We get things rolling with the opening bell.
Want to ring the bell?
My advice is don't wear Vikings gear to the game. Just don't tempt the gods. Please, don't do it. I have friends who come in from New York all the time, Giants fans, and I'm always like, listen, don't wear your Eli Manning jersey if you come into the link, you know, especially don't stroll around the parking lot. I mean, once you get into the stadium, fine, I get it. You can take off your jacket and wear your jersey, but you can't stroll around the link parking lot with your Terrell Owens jersey and, you know, you remember when T.O. came back here? They tore the jerseys off people and lit them on fire in a big bonfire in the parking lot?
You know what? I still think Buffalo Bill. I think the Bills Mafia is still the number one in terms of, like, meathead aggressive fan bases. If you're power bombing and rock bottoming your friends through flaming tables, you get the number one ranking. So Eagles, your fan base isn't even the most aggressive meathead fan base.
Yeah, except I think the Eagles fan base actually wants to harm you. The Bills fan base wants to harm themselves. That's fine. If you want to throw yourself through a flaming table and kill yourself, go for it. That though, hilarious. Was Sal Palantonio of ESPN, who once covered crime for a Philadelphia newspaper.
Yeah.
So this is not some random caller like trying to give advice. This is a guy who covered hardcore crime in Philadelphia, essentially saying, don't be walking around parking lots in your Vikings jerseys.
That's a good point. I think my new favorite hobby as of this week is shooting Eagles fan fish in a barrel. It's target practice. And now there's a guy named Angelo in my timeline this morning. And yesterday it was Vito and Donnie the day before and all kinds of others. Here, this is a guy named John, Eagles fan named John, tweets into the Mackey and Judd show. Watching from afar, Philadelphia, he's got like Eagles stuff all over his Twitter profile.
Mm-hmm.
I find this hilarious. This Phil Mackey and his pal
can't even acknowledge,
my pal.
Very upsetting.
Seem to have no idea what self-awareness actually is. I could also suggest that most people outside the U.S. don't know where Minneapolis is. It's like this is the only chance they'll get to be important. John, your timing on this tweet is a little bit off because we are literally days before the most prominent and watched sporting event in the world will be held in, drumroll, Minneapolis.
I just like
for the second time in 25 years.
Being called pal. That's pretty good.
Mackey and pal
coming up 9-1, 1500 ESPN.
So yesterday we got word. Dave was scouting this yesterday. The Fanatic in Philadelphia. The Fanatic and WIP are the two main sports talk stations in Philadelphia. They certainly got their money's worth. We pretty much wrote their show for them yesterday. So that we're going to play. Should we play this whole thing? Is it worth playing this whole thing, do you think, Dave?
Yeah, why not?
Are we on this clip, too?
No, I cut it off after they played the clip from Don in Philly calling us.
Okay.
So you'll hear them discussing our station, and then actual Don, the actual caller who called us, then talking to them. Was it Jason Martitis and Harry Mays, I believe,
on the Fanatic
97.5.
Okay. So this start, Chris Long is in Philadelphia, and by the way, I caught some of the 5 Eyewitness News last night, so Joe Schmidt is at Case Keenum's parents' house in Texas.
I saw that. It was really good.
Chris is all over Philadelphia, so they're pumping out a lot of cool stuff, KSTP.com and Channel 5, and he texts us. He gets in his rent-a-car yesterday, and he goes, I turned on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, and I heard your voices. They were just pretty much hammering 1500 ESPN.
He texted us just now. The two hosts at the station saying hello to both of us. One waving, one with his middle finger right in the air.
And I believe that's Martitis with the...
Okay.
Got it. Tell Chris we'll send them a photo back here shortly, but this is them apparently shredding 1500 ESPN yesterday.
1500 ESPN, Twin Cities. They got Golic and Wingo, Mackey and Judd. Garage Logic with Joe Suturi. Mm. A guy's name is Garage Logic. One of the hosts?
No. That's a huge loss.
See, we need some dopey name for the show.
No, that's the guy's name.
I know, but you know how they do this all around the country?
Yeah, they come up with the dumb names.
Like these stupid names for shows.
Well, I think
we should come up with some stupid
name. No, I'm not doing it, Harry.
No?
No, you're Harry and I'm Jason. Leave it at that. And they put it in their tweet, too. There's a huge gap between Philadelphia sports fans' bravado and the actual success of their sports teams. Well, hey, Pot, meet Kettle.
Yeah.
Your Minnesota sports teams blow.
Yeah, I know.
What have they won?
I mean, you think back, the Twins have, like, two World Series
Kirby
championships
Puckett.
In the 80s, I believe. 87.
Yep.
And maybe 91. And they might have won one way back in the 20s or something in baseball, too. But they have no football Super Bowls. Their basketball team has never done anything in the playoffs, yep. really, to speak
they
of.
I mean, in Minnesota.
And their hockey team left town.
I mean, how the hell do you lose a hockey team in Minnesota?
Right, well.
How's that possible?
I think they're bigger fans of the Gophers hockey team than they were the Stars yeah, I mean, back in the day.
That's unacceptable. Well, let's bring Don on, because Don right. made the call. Don, that's good work out of you, man.
Hey, yo, guys. How you doing? Look, I got to say something. I really appreciate Philadelphia Sports Radio, especially when I had to endure about 2 hours of that, because I wanted to get a kind of a taste about how they are and what they talk about. And my God, it's unbearable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who are you talking to? Do you know which guys you were talking to?
What show was that?
Yeah, were you talking to Garage Logic with Joe Suchere?
I think the one guy's name was Mackie. I don't remember.
That's Mackie and Judd.
Yeah, Mackie and Judd. That's who it was. And, you know, their conversations, their topic prior to when I called was...
Not Winona Judd.
Not Judd Heathcote.
Not Judd Nelson.
Judd Heathcote.
Their fourth topic before I called was that how they're slowly becoming a championship city. And that was when I was like, you know what? I got to shut this thing down right now.
Shut it down, Donnie.
I think their last championship was 1991 with the Twins.
Yeah.
So they're becoming a championship.
That was a great series, by the way, that Twins.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was a great series.
No question.
Kent
Herbeck on that squad.
Yes. Big Kent Herbeck.
The call actually went beyond what you guys actually heard. They actually eventually switched subjects over to the Sixers and pointing fingers at Embiid. And I said, I must have missed the Timberwolves NBA championship parade. They then, I asked them who has more championships amongst the two cities. They then went into WNBA basketball.
Are you serious?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Don, well, good job, man. We appreciate you going out there and being a soldier for this city.
Yes.
You're a soldier.
Soldier.
Go Eagles, guys. Go Eagles.
Yes. Yeah. Fly, Eagles, fly. Yes.
Yeah.
Fly.
Oh, what's going on, Philadelphia?
Yeah, pump it up, Eagles.
I'm going to tell
that's
you right now.
The that's WIP, but yeah.
Winona Judd line, not original. Not first time I've heard that
You've
one.
You've been called Winona before
not
in your life?
Not the first time I've heard that one. Oh, my gosh. That was fantastic. So Don infiltrated. He infiltrated this station.
He did, yes. He's a soldier.
He breached. He breached our station.
You know what? I think I have a great read. I think I've spent the last 4 days trying to contemplate and get inside the mind of a typical Philadelphia sports fan. And I think I've got them figured out. So some real talk here. I think most of us here in the Twin Cities, if I could represent the majority of Vikings fans and Minnesota sports fans, would you guys agree that we're mildly confident as a whole in the Vikings, but fully aware of the history of the franchise and the things that could go wrong in this game?
Mildly confident is probably as far as you could possibly go. It might be less than that for
us. Okay. Like, for sure, walking on eggshells and understand all the things that... Like, we're worried about the turf, for God's sakes.
Yes.
That, oh my God, Stephon Diggs could slip. And I mean, that's the level of angst that we watch sports with, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Eagles fans and radio hosts with the false bravado and over-projecting, and Nick Foles is your starting quarterback. We see through you. We know you're nervous. This isn't Carson Wentz MVP candidate. This isn't Tom Brady. There's only so much confidence you can have truly in your core being with Nick Foles as your starting quarterback. And it got me thinking about different like sports comparisons. Like what's a good example of another sporting event or a matchup of some kind where there was just an amazing amount of false bravado and you thought, is that real? Like, there's no way, right? There's no way, but I've got it.
All right.
I've got it.
All right.
Remember that Peter McNeely-Mike Tyson fight from 1995? Do you remember the pre-fight
yes.
lead-up to that fight? And I went and watched back even, like, not just the pre-fight interviews, but the actual
Mills Lane pulling the boxers together before the fight.
Mm-hmm.
The weeks leading up and then the minutes leading up to that fight,
mm-hmm.
Peter McNeely trash talked. In fact, at one point, Peter McNeely was quoted as saying he was going to wrap Mike Tyson in a cocoon of horror. Like the trash talk from Peter McNeely was never ending in the weeks leading up. He's a Boston guy.
Mm-hmm.
So Boston trash talk. He swayed back and forth like a caged animal with Mills Lane, you know, getting him to touch gloves.
Yeah.
He when he got announced to the ring and, you know, the big voice guy announces him to the ring, he danced around the ring like a drunken gazelle for like 3 minutes, firing off a machine gun of jabs in the corner. Mike Tyson got wacky like 2 or 3 years later when he bit Evander Holyfield's ear off. Mike Tyson sat there and stared at him for the entire pre-fight lead up. His first fight back from jail 4 years later. Eagles fans and media and radio hosts remind me of Peter McNeely in the pre-fight lead up to that tight. That fight lasted a minute and a half, by the way. That's what it reminds me of. You can't possibly actually be confident in Nick Foles going into this game.
No, but there's so this goes so deep. Don calls our station, and in their heart of hearts in Philadelphia, they truly believe that Don has infiltrated our state. Way to go, Don, because you got on the Twin Cities airwaves, and you told the Twin Cities what Philadelphia is thinking. This isn't about sports. This is about mindset, and this is about the base-level ability of stupidity when it hits to actually think that Don did something good. They believe this morning in Philadelphia, or that call on Thursday morning, they believe that Don did something effective. You did, way to go, good job.
You're a soldier,
on.
I believe, yes. Is what they said.
This is a base level of stupidity that is, to me, so intriguing. Because when we talk about...
Baseline of stupidity needs to be a State Fair t-shirt.
It goes deeper. It goes deeper. When we talk about, when we sit here in our state here, which I think is very white collar and a lot of smart people, and we say, what's going on in this country? Like, I mean, we're normal. What is going on? Why is this country haywire? What? Don. That's your answer.
Don is a microcosm problems.
Don is a microcosm for the baseline of stupidity that's infiltrated this country to the point of that answers your question.
But wait a minute. Is it him? Or is it the enablers? Because he's clearly being pushed to do it. I was just listening to the very beginning of the show that we were discussing yesterday, and they immediately started talking about us, how we had to play them on our air yesterday to get ratings. Well, we played them for about 30 seconds, and it was boring as hell. That's why we turned it off. And oh, by the way, fellas, in case you're tuning into us, you played us before we played you, so you can shove it.
So Nana boo-boo, yes.
Well, it's just, I mean... I don't understand how an entire group of people, that being Philadelphians, can stake their entire self-worth on a group of football players who aren't even from their town, just happen to wear green laundry on Sundays. That's
true. And consider this. If your entire self-worth is wrapped up in the green laundry in this game on Sunday, how comfortable do you feel that your self-worth and the way you're going to feel on Monday is tied to Nick Foles against the Mike Zimmer defense?
Gross.
Pump the brakes on the false bravado. We'll see what happens on Sunday. By the way, this is more from the fanatic now ripping on women's basketball too, which Judd might actually agree with. Judd hates women's basketball.
Yeah, stop with that.
Now, the Minnesota Lynx, Harry, of the WNBA. Now, that's a juggernaut. They've got championships in 11, 13, 15, and 17.
Oh, man.
Now, that is something that I hope those guys doing the show out there can really hang their hat on.
Okay.
Is this so it's a WNBA.
It's a WNBA town.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not putting down the WNBA, but I mean...
Yeah, you are. It sounds like you are.
No, man. I'm saying that that's something they can really hang their hat on. Every odd year, they get a WNBA title.
That's funny because I took that as you totally putting it down.
Not at all. No, I'm saying that's something you... And look, if you're a WNBA fan, and who am I to discourage you from being a WNBA fan? I mean, there's not much better out there. Then I'm sure they fill up that barn out there, too, for those WNBA games.
The barn.
Every other year when they win a title.
Go to victory.
Into it, pass is caught. Diggs, sideline, touchdown! Unbelievable! Vikings win it.
have a packed show today, gentlemen. We have a Friday scoop with Doogie right after our Write That Down predictions. So the top of the 10 o'clock hour is going to be jam-packed. Todd Furman will help us with our NFL picks this weekend for Championship Sunday at 11 o'clock. We'll check in with our guy Chris Long from Channel 5 at some point, probably second half of the show. Mm-hmm. And the superstar, Mike Morris will join for the noon hour.
It's an awesome show. And if the Vikings don't win on Sunday, I'm going to be so upset that I'm not going to come to work ever again. Well, wait, that's Eagles fans.
Actually, a lot of listeners might prefer that we don't come to work on Monday.
That's it. That was some of the greatest stuff ever. Actually tied up in your football team to the point of it is your whole identity.
I hope Judd's Keys is ready. This is probably the biggest spot Judd's Keys has ever been involved in his entire career.
It is, and key number one is going to be very important.
That's coming up in about 15 minutes.
Mackie and Judd now continue.
I want you to do it. The good Lord wants you to do it.
You really think so?
I know so.
On 1500 ESPN.
I'm expecting it to be crazy. You know, that's why... You know, we're communicating a lot right now to make sure that, you know, that we don't have to communicate, you know, or if we do communicate that we're on the same page during the game, because I have a feeling I'm not going to be able to hear much and they're going to be able to hear me do a lot of things.
Mackie and Judd. By the way, if you want to chime in, 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. You're an Eagles fan and you're scouting us, or you're being told to listen.
It's Mackie and Pal. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Now this is where... See, yesterday we opened the show and I ripped one of the Philadelphia hosts on WIP for sounding like it... My point yesterday was Philadelphia comes off as... It's a little bit like the sports envy we sometimes have if we're being, again, self-aware. When comparing to Wisconsin, like, we'd love to be the Badgers. We compare the Gophers to the Badgers. The Packers have multiple Super Bowl titles. Mm-hmm. And in the Eagles, it feels the same way. It just permeates that they look over at New York and Boston, and they want to be that so bad. And so we opened the show yesterday and played this clip.
Oh, what's going on, Philadelphia?
So... I didn't want to call the guy out by name because it's not about me. It was just, I said, you're not Chris Mad Dog Russo, dude. Like, the New York envy even goes so far as, I'm going to copy the guy who made sports talk legendary in New York. Now he's chirping at me. It's John Barchard. I've never met him. I'm sure he's a good dude, but he goes, hey, Phil, at least say my name when you're ripping me. Congratulations on being self-aware, okay. I guess. We'll stick to being direct.
Okay, that is the most East Coast thing of all time. If you're going to rip me,
say my name.
Give me credit. I deserve credit.
Oh, actually, I purposely didn't say his name because I didn't want to make it about him and call him out. I don't know him. I'm sure he's a good dude, but he's copying Chris Mad Dog Russo.
How many tweets have you gotten in the last 2 days from... between Philadelphia media and fans now?
Oh, it's been never ending for 2 days. Honest to God, of course, we're taking clips of some of the stuff that we're putting out, and they're catching on social media.
Sure.
So even for the people who aren't listening directly, but 651, well, we'll keep the lines open. 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. I do have for you, this is maybe a Judd's Keys pregame show if you want it. I've got like a... consider me the talking head analyst before the game, and the game is Judd's Keys.
All right.
I've got four things I think the Vikings are better at than the Eagles. Four very important things, if you want them quickly.
Sure.
Number one, head coach. And now Peterson, that was a widely panned hire when the Eagles made Peterson their head coach.
It was.
And he sort of gets the last laugh because now the Eagles are in the NFC Championship game and Carson Wentz has turned into the star quarterback, even though he's not going to play in the game. But Mike, if you're looking at Peterson versus Zimmer, Mike Zimmer is the best defensive coach in the NFL. So he's got something he can hang his hat on. He's got an elevator pitch. What are you? What's your identity? Mike Zimmer can say, I'm the best defensive coach in the NFL. And the stats back it up.
Mm-hmm.
My defense is number one in points allowed, number one in yardage, number one in third downs. I'll take Mike Zimmer in the coaching head-to-head.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, quarterback. I don't know if I would have said this a year ago, but Case Keenum has put a full season of resume on the table, and he's going to get MVP votes. He's not in the top tier. He might not even be long-term a second-tier quarterback, but in this vehicle that he's driving,
he is a better quarterback than Nick Foles in the vehicle Nick Foles is driving.
Absolutely on that one, yeah.
And when Nick Foles doesn't have Pat Shurmur, he's been one of the worst quarterbacks in the league the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. So if Pat Shurmur is the common denominator, well, Case Keenum gets him for this game, and Nick Foles doesn't. Number three, it kind of ties into number one. I'll take the Vikings team defense over the Eagles team defense, even though the Eagles team defense is really good, especially at home.
I was going to say that one's pretty close, actually.
But Sendejo was practicing yesterday.
Yep.
He was out there.
Yep.
It's certainly not a whitewash, but I will take the Vikings team defense over the Eagles team defense. And number four, skill position players. I think the Vikings have a better overall unit of skill position players than the Eagles. They've got the two best wide receivers in the game.
Yeah.
The tight ends, I think, are a wash. The running backs are debatable. LeGarrette Blount is definitely, if you're getting into a short yardage situation and you need someone or you need a closer to grind the clock out, he's the best at that.
Mm-hmm.
But Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen put the Vikings skill position players over the top in that head-to-head. Now, home field advantage is going to matter big time.
So
it's not a total wash.
Of those four things, I would say the one that I would agree with you is a clear-cut advantage is quarterback. Because Foles has been, Foles is okay. Keenum, to his credit, has established himself. Head coaching is close. I think you're right. I think it's close. Defense is definitely close. Skill position, if Foles can get the ball to Jeffrey's good, but then the question goes back to can he get him the ball, especially if Rhodes is on Jeffrey the entire game. So I would agree on all four points. I would say the second one, quarterback, is a definite advantage Vikings for sure.
You wouldn't say coach, though?
I wouldn't say definite. I'd say I'd say edge Vikings, but it's not definite to me. I think Peterson's a pretty good coach, too.
651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. Sam, you're on the show.
Hey, guys. I just want to bring up a quick point. I want to see if you guys agree. I don't think the Eagles will beat the Vikings. I think the only way the Vikings go home losers is if they beat themselves. If it's something like, Keenum doesn't play well or something tragic that we don't want to talk about right now. But other than that, I think the Vikings win. And if they don't, it's because they beat themselves. I don't think the Eagles are a better team. Thanks, guys.
I think you're probably right, Sam. I mean, that has been why for 3 days now I said my primary concern is offensive mistakes. Because defensively, the Vikings are better. And yeah, I think if we sit here on Monday and talk about a Vikings loss, odds are good we're going to be talking about, let's say, two plays. I don't think it's going to be they just lost the game.
Yeah,
I really don't.
Yeah, I did too. It's still hard to get a full read on what the game flow is going to be, and it's hard to get a read on exactly what I think it's going to be. First team to 20 points. If you could guarantee the Vikings would score 20 points, I think I would just take it and then see what happens. But it's hard to get a read because there's so many factors that are just hard to predict here. It is hard to predict how Case Keenum is going to fare in this environment and Nick Foles in this environment. Both coaches and coordinators are going to try and insulate those two guys as much as possible because they've never been in this situation before.
Mm-hmm.
But like, could one of them pull a Brian Hoyer or a Jake Delhomme or something where you get into a big spot and it's, whoa, five interceptions or three? Like,
of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No.
Would I ever predict that for a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers in the spot? No. But the unpredictability of how, especially the quarterbacks, who've never been in a spot like this, how they're going to perform. And that's why, I mean, it's much more predictable what the Vikings collective defense is going to do and what the Eagles collective defense is going to do. And that's why I tend to lean toward a lower scoring game, a 14-9, a 17-10 kind of a situation.
Sam's right though. I don't see a scenario where that game gets done and we just say the Vikings just lost the game. I really don't. The defense is so good that I think if the conversation is they just lost the game, I think it's going to be surprising. Philly's good, but when you consider that it's Nick Foles against this defense, you know, I don't see him coming out and scoring 21 points or something like that. I just don't.
Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be. And then, of course, if you thought that the wait last weekend was long because you had to wait until the last game on Sunday. Well, that game started sort of mid-afternoon.
Yeah,
you got to wait till like 6 o'clock for this game. Is it 5:40 the official start time? 5:40
here. Yeah, 6:40 there.
So, and if there was any doubt, obviously Vikings vent line will be ready to roar, win or lose, whatever happens. And I think win or lose, if that thing goes on the air at 9 o'clock,
yep.
Usually 2 hours is kind of
you'll be
we might be
12.
On the air until past midnight.
I bet you
and
are.
We will gladly take your phone calls one way or the other.
8 quarters of absolute hell.
Yeah.
If you are going to make the Super Bowl, it is going to be 8 quarters, at least 8, if not more, of absolute hell.
It's going to be like Rocky 3. Or Rocky 2, actually. That was 15 rounds of hell. Rocky 3 was more like 3 rounds of hell.
I'm sorry, I don't remember.
But he had to get in really good condition, and he sort of exhausted himself but got the knockout. I mean, Rocky 4 was hell, too, though, because he had to go to Russia and train.
That's always tough.
And was that a 15-round fight, too? I think it was 15.
Oh, they're 15. Always 15.
Yeah. Back then, they were.
15-round fights.
Back then, they were 15-round fights.
Yeah, I don't know. Judd's Keys? Is Judd's Keys awake? Is he ready? Biggest moment?
Keys is ready to go. Ready to roll.
Okay. I woke up this morning, by the way, and, like, the only thing playing in my head was this.
There's one thing I want you to do for me.
What?
Come here.
What?
Win. Win.
What are we waiting for? Take this!
Yeah, how does that not get your blood boiling?
He's going to be there probably on Sunday riling up Eagles fans.
He is. Who can we send? Can we send the 12-year-old manager from Little Big League? What's he doing? Can we send him out there?
No, we can do better than that. Charlie Conway wouldn't be bad.
Yeah. Josh Jackson?
Yeah.
He's not busy right now, is he?
I don't think so. He's got nothing going on.
If not, Goldberg the goalie, I think, is always available. Can we send him?
This is so sad.
Before we go anywhere, let's talk about the official figurehead for your football parties, whether it's this weekend or the big game, TCL TVs. In fact, stay tuned next week. We're offering a big-time TCL TV giveaway all throughout next week, Monday through Friday. Details will be posted sometime later today on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1500ESPN. Let's put it this way, though. TCL is being very generous, and they're going to help 5 different people next week, 5 different 1500 ESPN listeners, put on a pretty nice little spectacle and a pretty nice little show for their big game party that you're about to throw in a couple weeks here. TCL TVs, it's America's fastest growing TV brand. We're talking about 450,000 plus TV shows and movies because of the built-in Roku device. It's the best connected TV you're going to find maybe in the world right now. Stop by any major local retailer or go to TCLUSA.com.
Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad.
The most meaningless exercise in sports media.
Mackey and Judd on 1500 ESPN.
Well, you hear that? Sounds like we're ready to unlock a vault of knowledge bombs. Here comes Judd Zolgad's keys.
It's championship weekend in the NFL, and the Vikings are a part of it for the first time in 8 calendar years. Is Judd's Keys ready for the moment?
Judd's Keys has come to play, Phil Mackey.
Is Dave Harrigan, executive producer of Judd's Keys, ready for the moment?
Always ready for the moment.
Each week, except for the bye week a couple weeks ago, which the Vikings earned with their number 2 seed, Judd runs down the 5 keys to a Vikings victory over their opponent. This week, it's the Philadelphia Football Eagles and all of their false bravado fans and radio hosts. Chris Long is at, I think, Hooters in Philadelphia.
I've been to that Hooters,
with the Fanatics mid-morning show now.
Yeah,
and he sends a picture along of the mid-morning guys. One of them's flipping us off, and the other is just waving with a scowl. So we sent them, we have a little Reggie White action figure. We sent them a photo of Reggie White waving high and a middle finger of our own.
That's about it.
We're in the trenches right now, gentlemen.
Oh, it's nasty.
We're soldiers.
It's gotten nasty.
We are soldiers.
Just like Don was. Way to go, Donnie. Way to call in and infiltrate
here.
Station.
All right, key number 5 to a Vikings trip to the Super Bowl.
Well, last week, of course, the keys were to a win over the Saints, and I was inspired by New Orleans, so we went with some Dixieland jazz. Similar this week, I'm inspired by the city of Philadelphia and all that it stands for toughness, for bravado, for manly men, for fisticuffs, for kicking somebody's ass because they're wearing the wrong color.
That's what Don brings, right?
That's
what Don
right.
brought to the table.
So there's
more.
Nothing tougher than I can see that comes from Philly than Hall & Oates, baby.
Watch out for it.
Man-eater, as in the Vikings are going to want to establish the run by eating up that Eagles run defense. Now, this is not going to be simple. This is not going to be an easy task. In fact, the Eagles run defense finished the regular season giving up a league low 79.2 yards per game. They gave up 7 touchdowns rushing the entire season. The Falcons duo of Freeman and Coleman, 86 yards on the ground. Murray and McKinnon, this is absolutely imperative that this run game has success. Because this all goes back to, if the run game doesn't have success, there's now more pressure on Keenum, and you don't want that to happen. Your biggest concern is with Easton out at left guard. You've now had to shuffle your offensive line around, but I am telling you, you're going to have to eat up that Eagles run defense to have success if you want to give yourself your best chance to win.
You know, per Dave's point, is there anything, we talk about machismo and Philadelphia and football, and is there anything more macho than John Oates' mustache and a Hall & Oates sax solo to follow?
I had to watch way too many Hall & Oates music videos this morning to get all these tunes.
Key number four.
Yes, key number four. Sing it, John and Daryl.
Out of touch in this, hopefully for the Vikings' sake, and their defense is going to have to do a good job on this guy, Eagles tight end Zach Ertz. I will read you his regular season statistics, and you will say, wow, that's a heck of a season for Zach Ertz. 74 receptions, 824 yards, and 8 touchdowns. However, as Stephen A. Smith of Philadelphia likes to say, Ertz had 3 catches for 32 yards, only 3 against the Falcons, and since Nick Foles took over as quarterback, he has not been the same as he was earlier this year working with Carson Wentz. Anthony Barr likely gets the assignment of keeping Zach Ertz out of touch. I like his opportunities to do so. If you stop Zach Ertz, you give yourself a much better chance to win this football
game. That's also perhaps the single most underrated Hall & Oates song in a catalog of great songs.
Wow, really?
You think so?
It was, I don't know if you guys ever got into the Grand Theft Auto series, but they had a San Andreas version. It was like the 4th or 5th one. Or it was like throwback. Or was it that one? Or was it the Vice one? It was the Miami one where they threw you back to the 80s. And that song basically played on loop throughout my college playing a
while
Grand Theft Auto.
Stealing cars and smacking hookers?
Correct. And running into pedestrians. Yes, exactly. Key number 3 to a Vikings win over the Eagles. I don't want
this is, I like this. This is happy. What you don't want to lose in this case, if you're the Vikings defensive line, is contain Nick Foles. Now, Nick Foles, Wentz got hurt in, I believe it was week 14 against the Rams. Nick Foles came in, and in week 15, he played the checked-out Giants, and he immediately threw 4 touchdown passes, and you thought, whoa, is there something here? There wasn't. Since then, including the playoff game against the Falcons last Saturday, 1 touchdown pass, 2 interceptions for Nick Foles, and the most important thing will be the defensive line getting consistent pressure throughout the day on Nick Foles. So he has been sacked only once in the past 3 games. You're going to have to foil Foles. That's going to be the important thing. And what helps you, he can't really move on a bad field.
He can't. And if they have to send extra pressure to get to Nick Foles, I endorse that. We talked about that yesterday. Key number 2 to a Vikings trip to the Super Bowl. It's okay, it's a possession obsession.
Possession obsession is important for the entire purple offense on Sunday, but for one person in particular. You know who I'm talking about. And immediately the listeners are going to be like, here goes Zolgad again. He hates Case Keenum. It's not true. But what he can't do on Sunday is he can't throw any stupid passes. If you're being sacked, Case, accept the sack. Don't try and hurl the ball through the air. If you are under pressure and you think to yourself, I'm going to make a risky throw, think about that again. Just think about it for a second and don't do it. This is not the game for Case Keenum to go full Favre, all right? You've gotten this far. Don't screw it up now. be obsessed with possessing the football and not giving it away.
And if you do happen to get into a late game situation where you're rolling out to the right and there may or may not be receivers open and you think about throwing across your body, just run 7 yards for the first down.
That's okay? Fine too.
Just run Absolutely. 7 yards for the first down, unlike 8 years ago. And the number one key for a Vikings win over the Eagles in a trip to the Super Bowl.
Bring it home, Hall and Oates.
Said you better watch your back, old Jack. Said you better watch your back. Said you better watch your back, old Jack. Said you better watch your back.
Mackie and Pal is a full-service show, so Key One actually has nothing to do with what goes on the field at the Link on Sunday, and everything to do with Viking fans. If you're going, watch your back. The number one read story yesterday afternoon I found on StarTribune.com was basically how to handle going to an Eagles game in Philadelphia, okay? We haven't. I know it's all fun and games, but this isn't a joke. Watch your back if you go. As Sal Pal said, don't strut through the parking lot with your Keenum or Diggs or Rhodes jersey on. Keep your jacket on. And I would suggest you don't wear the jersey at all. But that's just me. If you go, watch your back.
Maybe, you know, maybe go with some purple and gold boxer briefs and just know that the most important parts of your body are comfortably snugged with some purple and gold,
that's
right?
A great idea.
And then you could maybe wear some, or you know what I would do? I would go subtle. I would wear Eagles apparel, but only like Vikings-related Eagles apparel. So if you can find an Eagles Randall Cunningham jersey or an Eagles Chris Carter jersey or something,
oh.
Or a jersey of some kind, that might be the play.
Oh, I like it.
Maybe a Sam Bradford Eagles jersey.
Yeah, and then they'll never that's a very
they'll
good
never
idea.
Catch on.
Much safer.
They'll just think you're being ironic jersey guy.
Yeah, much safer.
Yeah.
Watch your back.
So there they are.
Those are the keys.
Judd's five keys to a Vikings win over.
Because I care about our fans, damn it. I care about Vikings fans.
I saw something, I think it was on one of the Philadelphia news stations that was circulating around. And it was a guy from like StubHub or Ticket King or something talking about, oh yeah, it's no joke in Philadelphia. And then Steve Urban, who does a lot of the charter travel for Gopher, like
for
dunkers and stuff in some country.
Yes, he does.
And he was dead serious. And I've, you know, met Steve a number of times when we had the Gopher basketball rights and he'd, you know, come to the Richard Pitino show.
Mm-hmm.
And so he definitely has experience traveling to all these stadiums. And he goes, no, this is serious.
Yes.
You guys, you're going to get stabbed in the neck with a green shiv. So
the two places that I would say are seriously dangerous places, and one's gone now. If you were a North Star fan, Chicago Stadium, they would beat you up. If you went into Chicago Stadium on the west side of Chicago wearing a North Stars jersey, they would beat you up for fun.
God.
And this place is the exact same. They will beat you up for fun. And the worst part is
wrap my head around
they'll
that.
Beat you up.
I love sports, but come on, man.
They'll beat you up if they're sober. If they're drunk, they'll kill you.
Yeah. Hmm. You're getting made fun of right now, too. My Twitter timeline is now. So this, we started the show yesterday just ranting about the false bravado, like the difference in self-awareness between Minnesota sports fans who totally get the futility of our franchises and aren't thumping our chest to overcompensate for it. It just feels like Philadelphia fans are the opposite. And so we played that clip from, it's John Barchard. I don't know. I'm sure John's a good guy and we're chirping at each other on Twitter right now, but pretty much like half the hosts at WIP are in my timeline right now. Our city is in their heads. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 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 We're all thrown off.
Yeah. One guy's like, dude, you live in Minnesota. I think, yeah, we...
That's true.
It is, and
well done.
We really enjoy it here.
And you wish actually. You lived in New York.
Yeah, exactly. And you sound like a moron.
Mackie and Judd now continue.
Stand aside, everyone!
Mackie and Judd on 1500 ESPN.
Hey, you can get out and join me, Dave Harrigan, in supporting the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, my favorite charity. Do a little pre-gaming for Vikings-Eagles Sunday. But do it tomorrow, Saturday. Bar Olympics is the event. Tomorrow, 2 to 5 at Union 32 Craft House in Eagan. An afternoon full of games, food, drink specials, prizes, participants competing in a number of events to see who can win the gold. See who can flip cups the best. Top performance awarded prizes courtesy of 1500 ESPN and Union 32. More details at 1500ESPN.com. Keyword events.
Thank you, Dave. In less than 15 minutes...
our Write That Down predictions for the week and an accountability session. Remember, each week we now have a fan or listener submission for Write That Down predictions. So if you have any, we can probably include like two or three of them today. And you can email them to Mackie and Judd at 1500ESPN.com. Just put Write That Down in the headline of the, or in the subject line, so we can differentiate it between all of the like other emails. We just want, so put Write That Down in the headline of the email. Mm-hmm. Also, as a Vikings fan, what are your thoughts on this game? Like, what percentage confident are you in the Vikings beating the Eagles on Sunday, knowing the history of the franchise, knowing the NFC Championship game, quote-unquote curses, whatever you want to call them, 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. Phone lines open for the next 10 minutes or so.
I'm curious about this, too. Did the Diggs catch change your feelings about this team as well? Because going into last week, a lot of people were skittish. Did you gain more confidence because that catch was so bizarrely, it basically points to the fact that this might be, in your mind by now, a team of destiny. So before, I told you earlier this week about Eagles Court, Phil Mackey. I did some research. So in the Veterans Stadium where they used to play, there was an Eagles jail and court. Mm-hmm. So fans would get arrested, they would put them in the jail and then process them and have a hearing in court. Here's how it got started. Eagles Court started because estimates during a Monday night football game against the 49ers in 1998 were that during the course of this game, there were 60 fist fights in the stands.
Wait, what year is this
better
again?
It's 98.
Oh, so not that long ago,
no,
actually.
An estimated 60 fist fights in the stands. It gets better. Someone also fired off a flare into the stands. So in 1998, security was such that you could somehow get a flare in, I guess, below your coat or something. I have no idea.
And it wasn't a Donovan McNabb incomplete pass because he wasn't quite in the league yet.
No,
okay.
No. So once they had that 60 fist fights and a flare being fired into the stands, they said, this is getting out of control. On the opening day of the court then, so this is in the old stadium, when they put the court in, they processed 20 fans on the first day alone.
That's amazing.
So how about that? So you have 60 fights, you have a flare, God knows what else, and then you essentially, on the opening day of the court in the vet, you had 20 cases heard.
Amazing. Who was the opponent for that game?
San Francisco. So okay. It wasn't, you know, like the Cowboys or a team
Giants
that you could,
yeah.
No, this was purely Philadelphia fans.
That's amazing. I love how like the solution isn't, you know, let's police the stands more, or let's crack down on penalties, you know, or let's take away people's season tickets. It's screw it. Let's just put a jail down there to make it easier. Yep. Let them fight. We'll just put a jail down
put
there.
A jail there. Well, they hired a judge. They hired a judge to actually, because they didn't want the hassle then of taking people from the jail downtown, and they actually had a judge to immediately process fans out.
I think, I don't know. In for Vikings games, I haven't even seen a Vikings game inside US Bank Stadium yet, because we do Vikings Vent Line from the studio here. So the only times I've been there is for non-Vikings events, or we did a radio show there before they played their first game one time. But in general, I just love watching NFL games on a big-ass TV, a TCL TV. Yeah. I don't love going to NFL games. I'll go to basketball games. I enjoy going to arenas for hockey games and baseball games. There's an ambience about it, but whether it's the fans or the drunkenness, there's something about going to football games that's just becoming increasingly less appealing to me.
I've been to a Flyers game and a Phillies game, and it's absolutely fine. Eagles games are crazy.
Yeah. 651-646-8255. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, man. We're looking forward to Sunday, and we've been trash-talking Eagles fans and Eagles talk radio hosts all week, so we're having a good time.
Well, please continue to do it. I'm a Philly transplant, moved out here in about 98. And I can attest personally to the rabid nature of the Phillies or of Eagles fans. I went to a Phillies game as a Pittsburgh Pirate fan back in the early '80s, and had as a 12-year-old had a beer spilled on me and was threatened to be beat up if I didn't take my Pirates hat off. So it's all true.
Not spilled, dumped. Dumped is the correct word.
So. Judd, I do have to say one good thing about Philadelphia is you can get Yuengling beer.
I'm with you on that, yes.
So we need to have that transport out here. Hey, I've been thinking about this game a little bit. Now, I'm really, really confident in it. My one concern is Mackenzie Alexander on the defense. I don't think he had a good game. I think he was exposed a little bit. And just get your thoughts on him and the matchup that he might be going against Nelson Aguilar and what you guys think about that.
I get what you're saying. And the thing with him is, coming into this year, I was very concerned. I thought, oh my gosh, he's a dumpster fire. He's actually played okay. He's not great, but their good thing is twofold. It's depth at that spot, and it's also coaching.
Yeah.
Zimmer is so good. I'm just about done doubting Zimmer when it comes to his coaching of defensive backs, because every time I think to myself, this guy doesn't look good. Trey Waynes for 2 years, I'm saying, what's going on here? He's good now.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand your concern. I don't think it's going to end up being a huge problem.
Also, I would add to that, if you have one weak link, let's say Mackenzie Alexander has to be out there for a large chunk of a game or something, it's a lot bigger problem if Aaron Rodgers is the starting quarterback and he can look and survey the field and say, all right, that guy. Actually, I read this. I don't know if this was confirmed, but it was like educated speculation. After the Anderson Dejo concussion, just the chin-shattering hit, and Xavier Rhodes was right there on that play, and Rhodes was apoplectic.
Yeah, he went nuts.
He was furious, yelling at the officials, and he was just beside himself. On the very next play, mm-hmm. Drew Brees targeted Xavier Rhodes.
He did.
And people are saying that that's an extremely great Hall of Fame quarterback with a high IQ.
Yep.
And he's saying, ordinarily, I wouldn't go after Xavier Rhodes unless it was kind of a late-game situation. But he is not himself on this particular play or the rest of this series. I'm going to target him.
It was a great
Nick
play.
Foles isn't.
No, Nick not, Foles isn't going to be
he's
doing
not that.
That.
Yeah, no. He's not that. So let's go to our guy Harry in Connecticut. What's up, Harry?
Hey guys, how's it going? Happy Friday.
Yeah, you too, man.
Man. So I've been listening this week a lot and hearing the whole Philly back and forth and a lot of the banter. Look, I grew up like right outside the New York tri-state area my whole life. The thing I've always known from my New York friends is that Philly fans are the worst in the world. I always wondered why. I said, you know, what really is it about the Philly fans? And you hear the stories about them and the bravado and just the unabashed pride they have for their teams, which is something to be commended. But when it gets into the whole trash-talking portion, I just find it very, very hilarious that, and like you brought them, and again, numerous times this week, one of their biggest heroes is a fictional character. They have a statue for the guy in the city. This is a very, it's a steeped in history city, but it's not a city when it comes to sports that could really like say that they hold a candle to New York, which they want to be, by the way.
Yeah.
That's what any like New Yorker will tell you.
That cuts deep, by the way. You get a lot of backlash. We did that to lead off yesterday's show, Harry, and the backlash we got, it cuts pretty deep when you tell the truth in that regard.
You want, look, I'm a big fan of a stand-up comedy. If you want to find a really good piece to play on air, look up Bill Burr Philadelphia from like 2006. There is a censored version on YouTube.
Okay.
For 12 minutes, he tears into the city of Philadelphia live in Philly at a comedy club. Goes after the sports team. You have to look this up. He's a great comedian, but he had this like tirade because they were, and look, it's at a comedy show. People are booing the comedians for no reason just because it's Philly. And he tears into their sports teams.
Yeah.
He tears into the whole history regarding Rocky. It's hilarious. But anyway, as for the game Sunday, I took a quick look at Philadelphia's schedule this year and looked at the games that they did lose, even with Wentz. That Seattle game, when you look back at what occurred there, I know it was on the road, but you look at sort of the blueprint that they came up with to sort of stifle. You know, again, he's a young QB, but he is also an outstanding QB for being a young guy once. Foles is not that guy. For anyone to think that Zimmer is not he must be chomping at the bit to get to that game Sunday and embarrass this kid on national television in the biggest spotlight of his career that he's been in. And as for the rest of the team, I think you guys are right. You got to establish that run game against that wide nine and get that running as soon as possible. Up the middle, either to the left of the guard, to the center. that's where they're vulnerable in that defense.
Yeah, Harry,
anyway, guys.
Awesome call, dude. Thanks, Harry. We appreciate it. And call into Ventline after the game is over. We're up against the clock here. Bob in Pennsylvania, call back in like an hour, all right? We want to hear from you, but we got a couple segments here. Write that down coming up. Doogie with a scoop. Todd Furman will join at the top of the 11 o'clock hour to help us with a Vegas perspective on the picks for both these championship games. We'll get a flavor of Philadelphia with Chris Long from Channel 5 later on and Mike Morris. But write that down. Predictions are next on Mackey and Judd.